It's Bayou Sports with Coach Brent Indes, brought to you by L.A. Classic Roofing, Schwing Insurance Agency, The Quarter Tavern, Hype Minvel Grubs and Dalbor, Frank Specialty Fitness Equipment, Cane Row Golf and Turf Club, Additive Solutions, Iberia Sports and Rehabilitation, Arsenal Ford, Blazing Specialties, Riddick LLC, and Action Specialties. Now, here's Coach Indes.
Throwing in there, KK's Cafe, right there on Savoy Road in Youngsville, and United Fire and Safety, who's hiring right now. Give them a call at United Fire and Safety. You know somebody looking for a job. We want to help people out here on Bayou Sports. Skilled laborers. You can go offshore and make some moolah. So, Turbo, how was your siesta yesterday?
The siesta was well worth it, I can assure you. And I'm glad to be back, though. I'm sorry I missed yesterday's show. But
you were filled in admirably by the great Jeff Bach.
I understand.
And, we had the man from Hike, Minvel Grubs, and Dalbor, Mr. Eric Hike, who always brings added color to the show.
Very much so.
So we had a great time. We talked a lot of Masters. We talked NFL quarterbacks, which we'll continue to talk. But the absolute devastation,
I can't wait for it,
was that we were stood up by our resident expert golfer, Teddy Sliman.
Yeah,
but he's coming in this morning.
He'll give him the raspberries.
Well, it's his story. He's sticking to it. He's swearing. He was returning from Augusta, as Jeff had alluded. I was confused. I thought he was heading toward Augusta. No, he was coming back.
He left Monday. Got there Monday evening, I guess, afternoon.
Yeah. So so maybe in some of the hills or wherever, they weren't getting very good reception.
Maybe the egg salad sandwich got him.
Which it's not, it's pimento cheese.
Yeah, but they got eggs out. Wrapped in the floral.
Georgie Segura has a great pimento cheese story relative to the very nice bathrooms at Augusta.
At Augusta?
That's a story for another day. So I got my Masters T-shirt on. As a matter of fact, at break, maybe we'll take a little picture, show everybody that, you know, we're repping.
I got my Masters hat on.
And actually, there we go. So, when I went in 2018, I bought all kind of stuff, but I didn't buy a T-shirt. I bought this T-shirt from my wife. She said, I want a big, large-size T-shirt, kind of sleep shirt. And for whatever reason, she never wore it. So, and I had major remorse for not buying a T-shirt.
So, you confiscated it.
So, I was like, you know what? You don't wear this thing, so it's mine now.
Speaking of absent PGA professionals, I see one walking across the street diligently.
All right, so he's on his way. Well, what we're going to do this morning, of course, they're teeing off at Augusta this morning. We got to push it an hour, so right now it's 8:13, I would venture to say. You see, Teddy just made up for it. He walked in with a beige hat for Coach. Now we're all good. I love it. You got a green one for Turbo. I've already got the green one.
Yeah, one time these were very hard to get because usually the first day of the Masters they were all sold out. Now Masters has a site where they sell all their goods and services.
Well, not Teddy. Can you online? Can you get this? I don't think you can. Can you?
Yeah, you can.
Oh,
yeah,
you can. Okay.
Sure.
There was a time you couldn't. Okay.
So he brought also a book.
Oh yeah, we're gonna be checking some stuff out. Everything Masters this week. Oh look, well I see his dad right here, right in the middle.
Well, they teed it up. What about an hour and 15 minutes ago?
Well, I would say Jack
and Gary
and Gary teed it up probably just after 7 a.m. Their time.
I remember watching the old boys teeing it up. Yeah. Sarah's in and Sam Snead and who was the third one? I'm trying to recall. Who the third one was.
Sarazen, Snead.
Yeah. Walter
Hagen, possibly.
30 years ago? No, yeah. Walter Hagen wouldn't have been alive.
I don't know.
Sarazen was.
Okay, so Lee Elder
was
involved.
Lee Elder. All right.
So before we get to that, we're going to hit a few more on our list. We're going to have Boxcar. We're going to get Boxcar on in the second segment. We'll have Teddy on here as well, and we'll talk a bunch of Masters talk. But so yesterday we talked NFL quarterbacks and where I rated them, and of course if you've got any opinions on this. I'd love to hear it. We put Josh, we started out with Mahomes as a 9, and, okay. and he's pretty much the benchmark. I just couldn't feel like I could give anybody a 10. Okay,
oh, so I see what you're saying.
So Mahomes was the benchmark that I just said that any team out there drafting a team from the start, in my opinion, you're grabbing Mahomes.
Sure.
If you're having a supplemental draft, whatever you want to call it, he's your first guy. We talked about we didn't get so Russell Wilson being an 8.
Okay.
We went through Tannehill, 6. I think Jeff put it perfectly. Tannehill with the Titans. He's good in their system, but he is not capable of elevating a team. And I had to agree.
Yeah.
I love the word he used, elevate.
Yeah.
He's not capable of that.
I agree with that.
Lamar Jackson, an 8. Completely different, an atypical NFL quarterback.
I'm still not sold on him.
Okay. So you're not quite there. You're more of a 7 with him. But,
yeah.
You know, he was the MVP, so you got to remember that. But I'm with
year.
You.
A great year.
Yeah.
If he brings the team to the Super Bowl and wins it because of his ball skills and running ability, yeah, that's different.
Yeah.
He's not there yet.
I kind of killed Teddy Bridgewater. I started at a 4, and then I went to a 5. Again, I don't think he's an elevator. I do think, you know, Sean Payton has had a very good track record of when Drew Brees was hurt, when guys would come in midseason, whether it be Taysom Hill or Bridgewater, of doing well. But the Panthers wouldn't have traded for Sam Darnold if they think he's
– yeah, there was something missing.
You know, he's that type of quarterback. Josh Allen with the Bills. He's on the cusp. I gave him a 7.5.
Yeah, he is on the cusp.
He's
one,
right
yeah.
there. Still Close. Makes a lot of mistakes.
Yes.
But he's a baller.
Oh, yes.
So on that first page, we'll cover a few more before we get to the break. Aaron Rodgers, he's an 8, in my opinion. He yeah. could be an 8.5. But whatever Russell Wilson is, I think Aaron Rodgers is.
Wilson doesn't protect the ball. Rodgers at least protects the ball a little bit yeah. better. Wilson gets sacked a lot, too.
Yeah. Well, I think – I said it yesterday. I think Seattle's taken too much – they've taken Wilson for granted too much and not drafted, especially offensive linemen, to support him yeah. like he needs to be supported.
I agree with
you know,
that.
You're like, oh, we got a guy that can move around this and that. Well, let's just draft defensive guys or this and that. And I think if they had a better running game and they were better up front. And he's got a couple of guys to throw to. He's got the guy from Ole Miss.
Yeah, old Bulkin was a baller.
Yeah. But he needs more weapons.
Yes.
We talked about Deshaun Watson. I gave him a 6. We didn't get into his growing number of accusations, but how that probably has been weighing on his brain. Jeff also brought up how J.J. Watt wanting out of Houston probably shows you that the organization probably is lacking in some way, shape, or form.
You're right.
Which it's a great market. So we'll go, and again, these numbers, this numerical rating system that I have given to these guys, it's not about a career, because if it was about this guy's career, he would be a 9.5, Tom Brady. But I think right now, I gave him an 8. I don't know. He might be a 7.5. But because of his decline, inevitable decline, relative to age.
True.
And I do agree. Kevin Foote loves – Kevin's my buddy. He's on a different station. He loves to kill Tom Brady. I'd never go that far.
All he does is beat you.
Yeah. He did his homework. He got with a Tampa Bay team that hadn't been winning but had all the tools to win. Okay? But, again, if we're talking careers, Tom Brady – usurps all of these.
Tom Brady reminds me of a big Bart star.
Yeah. But going into next season, I'm going to generously give him an 8, and we'll see how he continues to hold up. But let's face it, 42-43 isn't 42 or 43 like it used to be. I always say, look at Kenny Stabler at 42 years old.
He was out of the game.
Look at Kenny Stabler at 37 years old.
He was a lounge lizard, pardon the expression.
All right, so moving on. Matty Ice. You know, a guy that at times looks like $1 million, and at other times not so much. The Falcons, such an anomaly. They start off last year like, and they can't you know, beat themselves out of a wet paper bag. Like they say, they can't play dead in a Western.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, they're beating the pants off of good football teams. I gave Matty Ice a 7. I do think he's still – anybody above a seven or above, I consider to be a quarterback that can lead a good team to a Super Bowl.
Yeah, Matty Ice is great with a – and you beat him by 2 or by 5, and he can – I don't know why he can drive you down the field.
No, he's not scared to drive the field.
Yeah. You know, his senior year at Boston College, he threw 19 interceptions.
Wow.
Yeah, a lot of people didn't see that fact coming. And he's prone to do that, too. He got a little crazy against the Saints a few times. But, like you said, he doesn't have the weapons around him either. They've kind of gotten a little smarter in that regard, drafting offensive and defensive linemen. That's where it starts.
Yeah, well, and Julio Jones is one of the best.
Oh, yes. He still drops a lot of balls,
yeah,
so.
Yeah. This next guy was a guy I really, you know, some people would call him anywhere from a 7. Some people might call him a 5 or a 4. I went on the low end. Carr with the Raiders. He's just very inconsistent. So if I made Bridgewater a 5, I'm going to say Carr is a 5.5. I got to have him higher than Bridgewater.
He looked like $1 million at times last year, but against the Saints,
and then
he looked
2 years
great.
Ago when they went. Was it 2 years ago? I think they went 11
yeah,
and 5
something
or
like
something.
Yeah.
I mean, they were really good.
Yeah.
That might have been like 3 or 4 years ago. But he
had a great year, yeah. But he just
– yeah.
Inconsistencies.
And we'll see relative to John Gruden and what he can pull off next year in Vegas. I know Vegas. It's exciting times for that organization. I think Las Vegas is a great venue for a – you know, for that team.
Yeah, never been there. They say it's kind of wild.
You know, Vegas is and you know, I never mind digressing on this show. We're all over the place. And I think that's sometimes a good thing. Vegas, I've been to Vegas twice. I'm not a big gambler. If I'm going to throw money around, I'm going to do it on a golf course. I don't know. I don't like games of chance like that. At least I know when I play well in golf, I have a better chance. Not always. Sometimes in our game, Teddy knows. In a golf game, it's all about birdies. So you can go out and shoot 72 with no birdies, and the other guy shoots 82 with 3 birdies, and he wins all the money.
Thank you.
So it is a little different, but
you know, my mother,
if you've got the money to go to Vegas and see a bunch of shows, the shows are really cool.
What do you call them when you go on those flights? You know, it's inexpensive, and you go up there, and I can't think of the term.
We did the Cirque du Soleil. Beatles, mm-hmm. And I love the Beatles.
Oh, okay.
And I'm telling you, that was awesome. I'd go see it again.
That's a group that looks like and plays like the Beatles?
No.
No?
So Cirque du Soleil, they're the ones that do all the acrobatic stuff.
Oh, okay. Okay?
Okay.
But then
they have the Beatles and they have people singing Beatles music while they're doing it.
Oh, okay.
And it's kind of like a play.
Okay.
Kind of like deal.
Okay.
I loved it. I thought it was awesome.
My mother went there in the 30s.
I call it the Cirque du Soleil.
My mother went there in the 30s, and she went back again in the 70s. And she said, oh, what a dirt. When she was there in the 30s.
She got, that was
it
before.
It was dirt roads.
I was about to say, that's before the mafia got in there and started changing it. That's
before
Bugsy,
World War II. She was there before
Bugsy
World War
Siegel.
II. Yeah, she was there before World War II, but she went back in the 70s with a group of ladies. She was stunned.
Because like it or not, the mafia built Vegas.
And then the corporations took it over.
Yeah. Carson Wentz.
Ooh. You're talking about a hot, cold quarterback there.
I went 5. I just think he's going to try to resurrect his career. But, gosh, I just.
Where's he resurrecting it now?
You know what? I'm killing myself right now because I had that note somewhere and I can't find it.
He left Philadelphia to go to.
He's traded. And,
I didn't see the Rams. Huh? Didn't the Rams get?
No. Away? So you got the Rams. That was the golf slash.
Yeah, the backup kid.
That was the trade.
Yeah.
With Goff and Stafford.
Detroit. Yeah,
Goff and Stafford.
You're right.
Baker Mayfield, 7.5. He's an up and comer.
He's on the right there on the cusp of moving up. You're right.
So I've got Baker Mayfield and Josh Allen with the Bills right at that same.
Cleveland go 11-5, 10-6 this year or something like that.
Yeah, 11-5, I believe. Mayfield could definitely become that 8.
Yeah, he's a game
now, and he's got people around him too now.
Yes, he does.
Of course, he's got two Louisiana guys. He's got a Newman graduate and a Lutcher graduate.
Yeah, amazing, huh?
Jarvis and OBJ, you know, right there on the same, and with a great running back.
Yes.
So Cleveland does have.
They've got some of the
everything
tools.
They need to be successful. Won a playoff game this year. Now this guy has had a great career, probable Hall of Famer, but. Right now, I have him as a 6.5, Big Ben, Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah.
Again, has trouble with interceptions now. He was more elusive than people gave him credit for. He was very subtly elusive in the pocket, is kind of the big ogre type guy, but he's just not the same anymore. He is definitely what I would consider on a decline.
Yeah, and the Pittsburgh defense did a lot for him, too.
You're right. And one thing I love about Pittsburgh's organization is they've stuck with their coach through thick and thin.
Pretty much. Yeah, they've had, what, 3 coaches in 50 years?
Yeah. The Rooneys.
Yeah,
Mike Tomlin, of course. So you was.
Tomlin's been there a good 12, 13 years.
Who's the big chin guy? Tell me his name.
Dave. Dave. He's on all the. He played at North Carolina State.
Okay, whatever. We know who we're talking about. I'm going to think of his name in a second.
Yeah, he's on the CBS.
So
good
you basically had 3 coaches. You know, over the past, God knows how many years. So I always respect that organization relative to that. We'll go 2 more, and then we'll go to a break. Kirk Cousins, another guy, man, certain games he will look like $1 million. And then you're like, of course, through, you know, killed the Saints a couple of years ago. I got him as a 6. Can't go higher than that with Cousins. He just hadn't proven to me yet what he can do and that he can lead his team, that he can elevate a team.
Yeah.
And last but definitely not least, Kyler Murray with the Cards. 7.5. I've got him right there with Mayfield. I consider him, Mayfield, Allen, all near the same age, all guys that potentially could be. And of course, Murray's so different because I refuse to believe he's taller than I am. And I'm 5'9".
You're right, too. Yeah.
I mean, gosh, if he is, he's 5'10". But that new breed, don't get me wrong, he is not Lamar Jackson by any stretch. But just that elusive gunslinger, got a little Brett Favre, got a little Fran Tarkenton, a little Russell Wilson. He's just got a lot of those attributes that he electric guy. And, again, if the Cardinals continue to surround him with great players – I think the sky's the limit for that guy.
Yeah, it's amazing that you're right. It is a limit. And I'm looking for our Pittsburgh coach. And the Steelers, since 1933, have had 16 coaches.
Yeah.
So and the Rooney family have owned them forever.
So with that being said, let's see. I got 1, 2, 3. I've probably got about 15, 16 quarterbacks left that we're going to talk about.
Yeah,
we do have time for a phone call before the break.
Let's go ahead and try it.
All right, you're on the air.
Hey, it's Boxcar. You told me to call in at 7:30.
That's it. Boxcar, you know what we're going to do? We're going to go to a break, okay? If you'll hold on, and we hadn't hit that first break yet, if you can hold right there, and then we're going to come right back, and we're going to get Mr. Sliman on there and the three of us along with Turbo. We can chat a little Masters talk. Or whatever's on your mind, man. Because you know what?
Hey. Yeah, well, I want to share that wrestling story with you, man.
Exactly. So hold on to that one.
But also, okay, it's Bill Cowher with the big chin.
Bill, there we go, Cowher. Yeah. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay.
So just hang on,
man.
Hold on for us. We'll be right back. Right here. Hey, ask Alexa, play Kane 1240.
Is it time for a new roof or to repair the old one? Hi, this is Jake Blanchard with LA Classic Roofing. We're a third-generation roofing contractor that has been in the business for over 70 years. As a locally owned and operated company, we're also licensed and insured for your peace of mind. We offer free estimates and a $100 referral fee for full roof replacement. Check us out on Facebook at LA Classic Roofing. And the number to call is 465-3888. LA Classic Roofing, professional roofing solutions since the 1950s.
It's spring cleaning time. Let Frank's Specialty Fitness Equipment not only provide you with new sales, but also all of your service needs. Extend the life of your fitness equipment, including home gyms and cardio equipment. Give Frank a call at 337-316-1231 or visit frankspecialtyfitnessequipment.com. Frank Burbank is a New Iberia native who has been servicing South Louisiana with top fitness equipment for nearly 40 years. That's Frank's Specialty Fitness Equipment, 337-316-1231.
Nowadays, none of us can be without adequate insurance coverage, but we still want to be sure we're getting the best value for the money. That's why so many people call the Schwing Insurance Agency to get a quote. The Schwing family has been handling the insurance needs of businesses and homeowners for almost 80 years. You can depend on Schwing Insurance to find the coverage you need at the best price. So before you buy a new policy or renew an existing one, call the Schwing Insurance Agency for a quote at 365-2357. Schwing Insurance, 300 East Main, across from the Shadows.
Hey guys, if you're looking for the top golf experience in Iberia Parish, you need to look no further than Cane Row Golf and Turf Club. Low or high handicappers will enjoy the beautiful greens, the recently refurbished sand traps, and incredibly plush fairways. And by the way, you don't have to be a golfer to enjoy Cane Row. The brand new clubhouse sports some of the best burgers, pizza, wings, and many other choices, along with absolutely the best, most potent margaritas that you've ever tried. So whether it's golf, food, or just some fun, come to Cane Row and enjoy.
We're making it easy at Arsenal Ford this month. What month is it?
It's truck month.
Take $13,000 off the last 2020 F-150s in stock.
Because it's truck month.
We make it easy at Arsenal Ford.
Additive Solutions LLC is protecting frontline workers in the fight against COVID-19. Additive Solutions supplies custom safety shields, air purification, and steam sanitation. Our custom glass installs quickly and is extremely easy to clean, and our industrial purifiers restore your space with the freshest air possible. We will steam sanitize and hand clean all high traffic areas in your facility. Please visit Additive Solutions LLC or call Jace Dugai at 337-577-4858.
If you're suffering from a sports-related injury, choose Iberia Sports and Rehabilitation. Our highly trained and licensed team will work with your physician to provide a customized treatment plan to help you recover as soon as possible. Iberia Sports and Rehab is proud to partner with our local middle and high schools to keep their athletes healthy and in the game. To get better, go to Iberia Sports and Rehab in New Iberia. Visit isrehab.com.
Do you have a logo? Do you have a brand? That is where Action Specialties comes in. If you want to get your brand out there, you need to call Action Specialties. Leaders in the promotional and advertising industry, they can help you get your logo seen everywhere you need it, from signs, decals, t-shirts, uniforms, and more. They can do that. Action Specialties has been proudly assisting their customers for 27 years with first-class customer service and a dedicated sales team to help you find what you need and what you didn't even know was out there. Action Specialties, we can do that.
Now back to Bayou Sports with Coach Brent Indes. Phone lines are open to talk sports at 367-1240.
Boxcar, I got to admit, okay, so you know as we get older, our short-term memory, it's not quite what it used to be. Would you agree? Boxcar, you
there? Oh, yeah. The short-term and long-term.
Oh, yeah. Well, long-term, I don't know. Long-term to me, you know, I can still remember phone numbers of my childhood friends, but sometimes I can't remember what I had for breakfast. This morning I get up and I look. Well, actually last night, and I've got Boxcar written in for my second segment. My wife made up this cool little four-segmented sheet right here that's like my Bible when every night I go and who we're going to talk to. And I'm looking at it and I'm like, okay, what were we going to talk about? So I asked Turbo this morning. I said, do you remember what Boxcar said we were going to talk about? And he's like, oh, no, but he'll help us out. So, yeah, but so we can talk. I got Teddy right here.
Hello there, Ralphie.
Teddy.
Hey, man.
What's up, buddy?
But I definitely want to hear the wrestling story.
Yeah, yeah, no, I mean, that's fine. We can talk Masters first if you want.
No, let's talk wrestling.
I just wanted to share this with you. Back in, I was a big wrestling fan going way back when, okay? So I used to watch it on, used to play on Saturday afternoons and then again on Sunday mornings. And, yeah, so I grew up on watching wrestling. So finally, when I was at USL back then, I decided to go to my first live match, and they had the old Sports Center on University in the Four Corners area. So I went, you know, and that's where you found me. Cowboy Bill Watts was there.
Oh, yeah.
Murdoch, Dusty Rhodes. I mean, it was just a legendary card, you know. So, and that's when I got hooked on the live aspect of it, because it was more fun to watch all the other Cajuns around me. And, you know, I mean, when I'm talking about these people were into it 1,000%, I mean, it was unbelievable. So that was my first exposure to the live matches. So, you know, fast forward, I'm working at KNIR back in the day in the 80s, and I'm the program director. And one day, Hayward Bonan with the Lions Club comes in and he says, hey, we're going to be doing wrestling at the Sugarcane Festival building. Would you guys want to be our like, you know, co-sponsor? And of course, I'm like, oh, you've got to be kidding me. Of course, you know, but I've got to talk my general managers into it or whatever. So they're on board. So we kind of partner up with it. And at the time it was, you know, Mid-South Wrestling. So this is 1985. So I'm talking with the promoters and whatnot. And, eventually, they asked me if I want to be the ring announcer. I'm like, oh, come on now. You know, this is like asking me if I want to go to the Masters, right?
Well, exactly.
Of course I want to be the ring announcer, right? So we make arrangements for that. Now I'm thinking, I've got to look good for this. I mean, I don't own a tuxedo. I mean, I barely own, you know, you dress at the radio station in which you want to, right?
We were just talking about that.
You know, so it's like, okay, whatever. Now, I don't, so I obviously don't own a tuxedo, but I want to wear a tuxedo because I'm, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, you know, maybe I'll get discovered and I can be the ring announcer for the rest of my life, right? You know, so I go to Kearney Boudreaux backstage. I said, Kearney, I said, man, would you want to hook me up with a tuxedo and I'll trade you out some advertising for it on the radio station? So he said, thought about it for a minute and he said, I'm like, I'll tell you what, rather than a regular tuxedo, he said, I think you need to really stand out. So he said, we've got our new Miami Vice collection. This was in 85.
That's what I'm screaming.
So he puts me in a flamingo pink tuxedo. So I look like Don Johnson, sort of, you know, and I did have hair back then and, you know, everything else. So he said, here's the deal. He said, I'm serious about it. These things are really expensive and they cost me a lot of money. Don't bring it back with any blood on it. I said, Kearney, it's fake. I said, there's no blood. I mean, you know, this is the blood's fake, you know. So I'm just saying, don't bring it back with any blood on it. So I said, don't worry about it, buddy. He said, if you do, you got to pay for it. Well, of course, I wouldn't have had $200 to pay for it to save my life. But so we get to the match that day, you know, and we provide the speakers and the audio and all that stuff. So I get in the ring, announce the first match, and, you know, I'm thinking, man, this is cool. You know, a lot of things stood out. The ring was a lot smaller than I thought, and just it was a lot harder, the floor and all that. So I'm kind of soaking all this in. Well, the very first match starts, and I'm sitting by this time on the side, and the guy who was kind of running things, he's ringing the bell. Well, this guy jumps out the ring. He grabs the bell, and he jumps back in the ring. The guy that was running the promotion said, oh, blank, that's not in the script.
Uh-oh.
And I looked at him. What?
Ruh-roh, Raggy.
The other guy proceeds to chase this guy around the ring and beat the hell out of him with this bell. And he's bleeding all over the place. I'm thinking, oh my God, it is, you know, they do have real blood here. So now I'm nervous the rest of the night. So I'm in the ring, and each one getting out of there as soon as I can. So we get to, there was two headline matches. The first one was the Sheepherders against the Fantastics for the heavyweight, for the tag team title.
Uh-huh.
So the Fantastics come out, you know, they went, they came out, the sharp dressed man. So boy, they're in the ring, and the sheep herders were the defending champions. Well, they come out, and I notice there's only one sheep herder. The other sheep herders miss him, but now Rick Steiner's in the ring with him. Rick Steiner was a nut. I mean, he was big.
And Rick Steiner was a former real wrestler. Like, went to University of Michigan, was a collegiate wrestler, I believe.
He was probably the most technically sound wrestler, but he was also nuts.
Yep.
So his gimmick, he would get on all fours and start barking like a dog. So he's in the ring barking like a dog on all fours. And in the meantime, I've got the sheep herder who has about 3 teeth total, and he's stomping his foot. You know, he's got his camouflage on or whatever. So I announced it as being a heavyweight championship, tag team championship match. Well, all of a sudden, the sheep herder comes up to me, and what had happened is the night before in New Orleans, his brother had gotten hurt. So it wasn't supposed to be a title match, but no one informed me about this. So I announced it as a title match where the crowd goes wild. And it, like I said, it was capacity that had turned away a bunch of people. So I'm standing in the middle of the ring. So now I don't know what to do. So I had announced it as a, you know, championship match. Well, the Fantastics start, you know, working the crowd up into frenzy. Yes, title, title, title. Another guy says, you can't be a title. My brother's not here. You know, in his Kiwi accent. So I'm like, I don't know. I'm thinking to myself. It says title. I said, so I asked the crowd, big mistake. You don't want a title match? Oh, yeah. Well, all of a sudden, I get charged by the sheep herder. He comes running.
Oh, my God.
Into the rope. He says, you can't make this. You don't have the authority to make this a title match. And I'm like, and I'm looking down. Is there blood? That's all I'm thinking.
No blood.
So I don't see any blood yet, so I'm still, okay, so now I just asked the guy, what are we supposed to do? So they went and talked to the Fantastics. So anyway, they agreed that we just, you know, the non-title match. So I escaped that one. But now I'm sweating bullets. I mean, my fun night is now I'm just nervous to the max, okay? And so the last match of the night, it was Hacksaw Jim Duggan, the Ugandan Giant.
Oh, you're talking about two guys way high on my list, okay?
Oh, my God. Brent, let me tell you what. So I get in the ring. The first I announce Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Well, he comes out. Well, I can tell this guy, his pupils are so dilated. He is nuts. And he's got his 2x4, and he's got his bandana, his patriotic bandana, and he's stomping around that ring with that 2x4. And I'm looking, I said, okay, is that a real 2x4? Oh, it's a real 2x4, all right. So now I'm thinking more blood. So, you know, but he's just, you know, doing his thing around the ring, getting the crowd in a frenzy. Then all of a sudden, the jungle music starts. And I look over, and out comes the little handler, you know, little frail-looking guy with his little safari hat. So I'm thinking, okay, when I'm telling you in the next 30 seconds, when this giant-looking bumblebee emerged from the dressing room, he was covered in head to toe with his black and yellow robe. When he got by the ring, I realized how big he was, and this other nut is in the ring with the 2x4, I said, no, this is not going to end well. I jumped out the ring and announced the match from outside the ring. So that can be in the ring with these two guys together. He was the most fit. I mean, you know, he was not muscular, but the biggest guy I had seen to that.
You know, that decision right there, Boxcar, may have cost you a future in wrestling.
It probably did, but it saved me $200. I was able to return the Miami Vice tuxedo in good condition. And the funny addendum to that is that after the end, it was a great time. Don't get me wrong. We raised a lot of money for the Lions Club. Well, the next day, I'm at the radio station, get a call. It's the promoter. I said, yeah. He said, man, things went great last night. I said, yes, they sure did. He said, we have a slight problem. I said, well, what's that? He said, we forgot Kamala's music in y'all's tape recorder. They had, cassette tape for each one. You know, that's how long ago it was.
Uh-huh.
For each one of the wrestlers, he said, we need it because he can't wrestle without his music. I said, where are y'all at? And by this time, they're in Lake Charles. So I said, and there's no way I could drive to Lake Charles to bring you your tape, you know. It's like, can we be, well, man, we always, we're setting up or whatever. So Pat Bonan just happened to be hanging around the radio station like he usually did after school and stuff. And so he volunteered to go bring the Kamala's music. So, but it was, you know, that's my wrestling story, but from back then. But it was a great time.
Well, Boxcar, as you're speaking, I just went ahead and I Googled the sheep herders. The first thing that came up, I almost got so excited because I said, this would be too good to be true. And it actually was. Immediately on YouTube, it came up, the Fantastics versus the Sheep Herders on June 27, 1986, but it was actually in Houston.
Oh, yeah. Well, they had a lot of...
I don't know. Of course, they played... of course, they... You know, that wasn't the only time, because back in the day, of course, well, still, when you had these feuds between people, they wrestled often. But I was like, if I thought for a second that I might have pulled you up on YouTube and that was going to be...
I wish I had. Now, I have pictures somewhere. I don't know where they're at. We've taken a lot of pictures. But I don't think we videoed it. But it was, oh my God, it was so much fun. And one of the fondest memories I have of radio station, you know, and doing that. It was and I'm pretty sure it was 85. It was either 85 or 86. It could have been 86.
Well, again, so probably just before. Again, this was probably a rematch from what you were speaking of.
Because the match before, the night before, was in New Orleans. You know what people didn't realize is back then, I'll just tell you one other one real quick. But back then, these guys, I mean, on the average, probably wrestled about 300 nights a year. I mean, that's what they. You know, you think that, you know, they're big superstars and all that, but it was...
They didn't get paid all... I mean, they weren't getting super wealthy.
It hadn't gotten to the WWE part.
Exactly. You know, when Vince McMahon got involved and they really started understanding the marketing value and all of those things.
Right.
And that's actually when my interest in wrestling started waning. I was more into when they weren't making much money.
Another one real quick is also we had the opportunity to help promote. Now, it wasn't the ring announcer for this one, but it was at the Cajun Dome, and it was actually when Mid-South had merged and became UFW or UW.
Yeah, that was Cowboy Bill Watts, correct.
Right, but I did some phone interviews ahead of time to promote it, and one of the guys I got to interview was Skandar Akbar, which was...
The general.
You talk about somebody that could turn it on, and I mean, he was the nicest guy in the world. Before we started the interview, he just turned into this villain that was unbelievable. But I got to also interview Dr. Death Steve Williams, and after the interview, he said, "Look, man, after my match, if you want to come backstage, take a picture, I'll sign an autograph or whatever." And I was like, I thought that was really cool, so I did that, you know. And when I showed my credentials to the guy and all, when they opened the curtain backstage at the Cajun Dome, all the wrestlers were in this big room together. The ones that had already wrestled were drinking and partying. The ones that hadn't wrestled yet were practicing their maneuvers. And Dr. Death was literally doubled over in pain. He said, "My knee is just, you know, killing me." And it was his old football injury. But he was a hell of a...
Absolutely. Oh, no, he was... We've already gone through him on my list. Been there, done that. No, he was an unbelievable athlete.
I hate to keep bringing this up, but the last story I'm going to tell you is that Ernie Ladd. Two things stood out with Ernie Ladd. I got to interview him at a Boy Scout banquet at City Hall. I mean, at the City Park in New Iberia. And when the man put his hands in mine, it not only engulfed my hand, it went all the way up to my elbow. His hand was the biggest hand I've ever seen.
I've shaken his hands as well. At Abbeville High School.
Unbelievable. But my dad used to own a gas station in Generette, and he was telling me, so one day this old van pulls up at the gas station. Well, he had full service and self service pump. Well, the thing pulls up in the middle where it's blocking the full service and it's, you know, just right in the... it's in the way. So my dad just gets out of his station, and he says, "Hey, get that old piece of, you know what, out the way." He said, "You're blocking my customers." all of a sudden, who emerges from the van? Ernie Ladd.
Hello there. This is the big cat, Ernie Ladd, speaking.
He was living in Franklin, and running bingo games at that time. And he says, who's going to make me move the van? Go ahead. So you're good.
Great stuff. Well, Boxcar, we appreciate it, man. That was a great trip down the wrestling memory lane. We're going to have to hold on some more of those stories, and we'll talk some more as we move through the list and some of these guys that were big parts of our childhood and our adolescence and young adulthood as well.
Yeah, I got to tell you, man, you're talking my language because I just grew up.
Anybody that grew up with Mid-South, that they have a passion about it. You can sit there and just spit out names back and forth. And, of course, the more obscure name you can come up with. You know, anybody can come up with Dusty Rhodes. But can you come up with Pork Chops Cash or Coco Samoa? You know, it's those obscure guys. That's when you can really find out if a guy was a true wrestling fan back in the day. Coco Beware, no doubt.
Terry Taylor, Coco Beware. Oh, yeah. Jake Snake was obviously a big name, but...
Paul Orndorff.
I'll tell you, another thing, Brent, is they used to be, the wrestling used to, on Saturday night, I think it was at 10 o'clock, it would actually play. It was late. And at that time I was DJing at Paul's Lounge in Generette. And the band could be playing. When wrestling came on, they had a TV in a side room. All of a sudden, you got 50 people gathered around watching the wrestling on TV, you know? I mean, it was that popular, you know?
Awesome.
It was unreal. But anyway, Ted, call me later today, man. I want to hear about the Masters trip.
I'll do it. Why don't you come by for a beer tonight?
Got a little commitment tonight, but okay. I'll
Oh, sounds like, yeah. sounds like, well, interesting, interesting. Maybe we'll talk about that later as well.
Now, just a little family supper. Might have my first crawfish of the year, finally.
Yeah, okay, that's his story, he's sticking to it. All right. Hey, thanks, Boxcar.
Right. Bye, Boxcar.
Okay, I'll take care. Bye.
Okay, so we're going to be right back. We got our resident golf expert in the house, fresh back from Augusta National. So right here, 367-1240, Kane, 107.5 FM. We'll be right back.
United Fire and Safety is an oil field service company that specializes in offshore maintenance. UFS has trained and reliable offshore fire watch service personnel. Hayden LeBove and his staff are always looking for skilled laborers. Please call United Fire and Safety for more information at 337-376-6814. Located at 2618 West Admiral Doyle Drive, United Fire and Safety, getting things done in the Gulf of Mexico.
Folks, I'm going to let you in on the best-kept secret in New Iberia. It's called Blazing Specialties. Robert Romero daily prepares a masterpiece of Cajun-inspired delicacies, such as stuffed breads, wings, boudin, crackling, as well as pre-cooked and frozen foods. Need an event catered? Look no further than Blazing Specialties to make your event unforgettable. When I bring food to a customer, it's always Blazing Specialties. Open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. and located at 1115 Center Street next to Freeman Plaza. Blazing Specialties. Come and get you some.
We at Hike Menville Grubs in Dalbor are happy to sponsor Coach Brent Indes and the Bayou Sports Show. We have recently changed our name from Hike Menville and Grubs by adding J.P. Dalbor's name to our marquee. For all your legal needs, choose your hometown law firm, Hike Menville Grubs in Dalbor. See us at 1017 East Dale Street or call 365-5486.
The Quarter Tavern is the premier spot for live music. Thursday, it's Kip Sonier. Friday, Chubby Carrier and Zydeco Trio. Saturday, it's the Basin Street Band. And Sunday afternoon, it's Deuce Chambers. 19 TVs has you covered for sports, and no bar has more outdoor seating for proper social distancing. Quarter Tavern, 910 East Main, across from McDonald's. The best drink prices in DeBary. New Iberia's happiest hours now, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday from 5 to 8. And now on Thursdays, 3 to 6, most drinks are half price.
Hey guys, if you're looking for the top golf experience in Iberia Parish, you need to look no further than Cane Row Golf and Turf Club. Low or high handicappers will enjoy the beautiful greens, the recently refurbished sand traps, and incredibly plush fairways. And by the way, you don't have to be a golfer to enjoy Cane Road. The brand new clubhouse sports some of the best burgers, pizza, wings, and many other choices, along with absolutely the best, most potent margaritas that you've ever tried. So whether it's golf, food, or just some fun, come to Cane Road and enjoy.
Is it time for a new roof or to repair the old one? Hi, this is Jake Blanchard with LA Classic Roofing. We're a third-generation roofing contractor that has been in the business for over 70 years. As a locally owned and operated company, we're also licensed and insured for your peace of mind. We offer free estimates and a $100 referral fee for full roof replacement. Check us out on Facebook at LA Classic Roofing. And the number to call is 465-3888. LA Classic Roofing, professional roofing solutions since the 1950s.
Do you have a logo? Do you have a brand? That is where Action Specialties comes in. If you want to get your brand out there, you need to call Action Specialties. Leaders in the promotional and advertising industry, they can help you get your logo seen everywhere you need it, from signs, decals, t-shirts, uniforms, and more. They can do that. Action Specialties has been proudly assisting their customers for 27 years with first-class customer service and a dedicated sales team to help you find what you need and what you didn't even know was out there. Action Specialties, we can do that.
Nowadays, none of us can be without adequate insurance coverage, but we still want to be sure we're getting the best value for the money. That's why so many people call the Schwing Insurance Agency to get a quote. The Schwing family has been handling the insurance needs of businesses and homeowners for almost 80 years. You can depend on Schwing Insurance to find the coverage you need at the best price. So before you buy a new policy or renew an existing one, call the Schwing Insurance Agency for a quote at 365-2357. Schwing Insurance, 300 East Main, across from the Shadows.
Now back to Bayou Sports with Coach Brent Indest on the all-new Kane 107.5.
All right, I got to throw this one out. So my buddy Jason Morvan just came up. We want to talk obscure wrestling names. Precious Paul Ellering. That's a great one. That's a great one right there, Jason. And you know what? I know you didn't Google that. I know you didn't because you got that in your brain. So appreciate former Kaplan head baseball coach Jason Morvant for sending that in. All right. So, Teddy, we're going to start. You said you got a pretty good story here, so I'd like to start with that because I'm a sucker for a good Augusta story, a relative to the Masters story.
It's a good one for sure. As you know, I brought in the yearbook from the 1980 Masters, and my daddy's in the middle of it there, dressed in his suit, sitting there, and I'm probably the only person in the world that ever attends a golf tournament in a full suit. But nonetheless, he went 28 straight years along with Mr. Marcus Shaw, who was at the time the president of Tabasco, and along with Mr. Tony Avery, of course, Avery Island, and Dr. G.A. Bollier and Donald Bonan. Those guys used to go every year in some way, shape, or fashion, you know, some rotation. But they were all practical jokers. And one year, and I'm not going to get the details just right, but it was back when integration was just coming on. And, it was a tense time in places like Mobile, Alabama, and in the South, you know. And so my daddy and Mr. Shaw and them were taken off to go, and Mr. Tony Avery played a practical joke on them. And I don't know how this happened, but he had four Ku Klux Klan robes with the hoods, and he had them stored inside the trunk of their car. Now, don't ask me how he got that done before they left, but he wasn't going on the trip, so he was upset, and he wanted to play a practical joke on them. So evidently, he knew the mayor or whoever in Mobile, and he knew the time they were going to be through it, going through Mobile. He had the sheriff pull that car over and search that car, and came up with these four Ku Klux Klan robes. And let me tell you, it was real and scary for a while. But I don't think my daddy and that group ever got back even with Mr. Tony Avery.
As much as I like to have fun, I've never been a practical joker because they can escalate into, and you just never know what that can lead to.
Right, exactly. I mean, that could have gotten serious.
Oh, absolutely. especially, well, again, back then, you weren't as worried about, freaking out a policeman or whatever. But, of course, policemen these days are a little more fidgety about what's going on. But yeah, exactly. That's a great story. Yeah. That's a really great story.
I can remember Mr. Tony Avery. He and my dad were very close, along with his wife, Miss Nina James. And he was a big-time practical joker.
Oh, God, yeah. All right. Well, let's talk golf.
Okay. So I was backwards. Okay. So, and I guess I didn't put two and two together. So I'm sitting, I thought that you had just gone for the week and you were going to be there through the weekend. And when you had said, I didn't read your text very well, I thought you were going toward Augusta yesterday, but you were actually returning. So y'all did the practice rounds.
Right. We got lucky, my grandson and I, and got two tickets to the Tuesday practice round, which, by the way, was my 47th anniversary. So my wife was back home doing therapy on her arm while I was getting to go to the Masters. So that's not too equal.
That's a wonderful woman right there, folks.
I'm telling you. But I got to go. My son got the two tickets from Mr. Johnny Hargrave, who is, you know, well, is the pro at Cane Row. And so since my son couldn't go, he was at a tournament with the team in Houston, I got to go. And what a blessing to be there with my grandson for the first time he ever saw the place. And it was just an incredible day. We enjoyed it so much. I'll tell you right off the bat, we were the first ones through the gate. And in fact, we were half an hour early. So what we did, we called the merchandise room, you know, merchandise building, I should say, and to know what we wanted to get for everybody and stuff. So we did that for half an hour, and then we were the first group through, and I immediately went to see where Mr. Johnny Hargrave was working, number 10, the tee box. And, of course, we thanked him and said we're going to walk the back nine because I wanted my grandson to see it without, you know, any players or anything, to see the holes before the players got on. And so we got the pleasure of walking the entire back nine, took pictures on
it. Did you walk it backwards or did you walk it forward?
No, we walked down 10 because Johnny was working on 10.
People don't realize number 10 is like a ski slope.
My grandson was afraid to walk.
Yeah.
Especially on the pine straw. He said, Pops, I'm afraid we slip. You know, and of course he was afraid for me as well. So we stayed on the grass part. But we walked the back nine, took pictures at Amen Corner. Thank God there was some really generous volunteers that took pictures of me and Drew on 12 and 13 and 15. So we did that. I showed him 16. He wanted to see 16 really bad because that's the hole they skip it on. And then we're walking back up 18, and we see on the information board right there by number 8 tee box that Rory, Justin Thomas, and Shane Lowry have just started the back nine. So we exile plans and start following them, and we were blessed to follow them the whole back nine all the way through 18.
Which, of course, it's a little different. You said 25% capacity,
right,
relative to the total number, which that stinks for the general public. But for the 25% that's there, it's pretty cool for you.
It's an awesome blessing there because, I mean, like, we got to see players up close and personal, you know, where there would otherwise be crowds. And the other thing I was telling you and Tony before is that there's no grandstands either by the greens or the tees. And it's really odd looking around because you can always say, you know, well, there where the grandstands are, that's number 8 green or whatever, you know.
Yes, you don't have your landmarks.
Right. And it's kind of eerie, you know.
But I'm sure the TV cameras were there.
The TV cameras were there. In fact, since you said that, Tony, there's two new TV cameras like they do at the football games on a rope.
Oh, really?
A wire? Right.
Really?
On 16, both par threes, 12 and 16, they had the movable cameras where they're going to show, you know, different angles of the tee shot on the par threes.
I'm waiting for a golf ball to hit one of those wires.
Well, the one on 16 is behind the player, so
okay.
It only Phil could hit it. And that's basically where Drew and I hung out, was on 16 tee box watching the players go through. After we've watched Rory and them, we stayed there and watched players come through like Phil and let's see who else we watched, Jordan Spieth, DJ, and they all skipped it. You know, they hit their regular shots from the back of the tee box because they had it screened off where they wouldn't take divots on where they're going to put the tee markers for the tournament. But they have a little area in the front where the tee box goes down. They all tried to skip it. And, of course, that was fun. Everybody's yelling, skip it, skip it, skip it. And they would all, you know, apply. So that was pretty fun because Mike Weir's group, of course, he's left-handed, and I forget the guy I was playing with, but they simultaneously teed up their balls facing each other and tried to skip it across. Then they made their caddies do it all at the same time. You know?
And a lot of people don't realize a lot of those caddies are excellent golfers in their own right.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was hard. I was amazed that some of them couldn't get it across, you know. Phil airmailed it over the green. Didn't even hit the pump.
He hit it like Eric Indes.
Roy McIlvoy could do it on 10 Cup.
Who was the one that?
Yeah, exactly.
There was a golfer recently that skipped it and went in the hole.
Yeah, that was last year, John Rahm, on 16.
That's right. Yes, that's right.
He not only did that, he skipped it during the practice round. He made a hole in one in the regular play.
Did he?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, of course, when they put the flag in that gathering and there's a couple of gathering spots on 16, that it really is conducive. Balls are going to go in the hole.
And it's amazing you said that, Brent, because they had it in the front there, which is, like you said, the gathering spot. You wouldn't believe the players that were hitting it 2 or 3 feet.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, almost half of them were hitting it, like, within game.
I don't know. 16 is a very easy, because it's not a long hole.
It was 167. They were hitting 8 and 7 iron.
Yeah, exactly. So, and I would imagine some of them hitting 9 irons even.
Maybe so. I heard 7s, and you know, and they were hitting it like 3 or 4 feet past the hole. It would come back down, and the crowd would cheer.
Because the thing is, you can go right at the flag, or of course, you can just go a little right at the flag, and it's going to feed down to the flag.
Right. Jordan Spieth hit it like maybe 10 feet to the right, and he was complaining, oh, no, it's in the bunker. But it didn't go in the bunker, and it hit the slope.
And that green is not as big as it looks on TV.
Oh, no.
That was one of the number one things when I went there, just how that hole, the pond, looks big on TV, and it's just this little bitty pond.
Yeah, it is.
And it's this little bitty green, you know, just right there on the edge of the it's just unbelievable. The other thing is, how far 13 tee box is back in that property. A fan can't get near that.
Yeah, no way.
Well, they moved that back a few years ago.
They bought some property from Augusta Country Club to extend that tee, because literally on the other side of the property is Augusta Country Club.
Right there,
It butts up to it. If you look on Google Earth, there's literally two golf courses that butt up to each other.
Right.
And as we talked before, the disdain for a lot of the Augusta Country Club members for the, as they call it, the National.
Right.
You know, it's just, there's not that many people in Augusta that are members at Augusta National. It's a national membership.
Right.
Well, the first time I ever went there, I think the course played at like 6,700 yards, 6,500 yards. Now it's what, pushing over 7?
Oh, it's way, I think it's almost 7,500.
Yeah, every you can't play,
6,800,
pros maybe. Can't play golf courses anymore less than 7,100 yards, mm-hmm. unless it's, I don't know. It's got to be so tricked up, because they'll just maul a course under 7,000 yards.
Oh yeah,
you know. But you know, we were sitting there the other day talking about number 11, the tee ball on number 11 at Cane Row.
Oh, number 11, Cane Row.
DeChambeau would just hit it right over between Armin Schwing's house. Well, it's not anymore in his shed right there. They take a straight shot at it.
Oh yeah,
it's probably about a 330. You know,
it's incredible how far you know the players are hitting it. But that's not the key, as you know. Bryson DeChambeau didn't play so well last time it was there in November. Yeah. That's not the key to attacking this golf course. It's your approach shot.
Yeah.
First of all, it's your approach shot, making sure you got it on the right side of the hole, and then you know obviously the greens. If you get it on the wrong side of the hole. I couldn't tell you how many players we saw chipping, because they knew they were going to miss this pin position, and they were going to have to chip to it on 9, on 14. I mean, almost every hole, the players were practicing their chips more so than their putts.
The most fun I had when Chris Bigler and I went was next to on Friday, we parked ourselves right next to number 9 green, and we watched people
answer it, Turbo.
Chip. Yeah, go ahead and answer it and just put them on hold.
They'll hear us.
All you got to do is press a button.
Okay, what?
Okay, so we were watching guys miss it to the right. So it was a low right pin placement.
On which hole were you talking?
On number 9.
Number 9, yeah.
And you'd see one guy putt it up the hill. The next guy would bump it into the hill. Mm. The next guy would flop it up on the green. It was the different golf shots that they played
that
from the exact same spot, almost the same spot.
Right.
And to see the different guys, and I'm thinking, 9 out of 10 guys at Cane Row, they're putting that. it's going to be a straight putt.
And that amazed me. I could see when Drew and I were right there on 9 watching some players chip. And the lie is so tight that you got to be precise. You know how you can chili dip very easily on a tight lie. And that's a frustrating shot. But these guys are so good. They know what. And like you said, they're versatile. They can hit it with different types of shots. It's just which one has the best percentage.
And I realize it pales in comparison, but the only place that I can, that I've ever played that you can equate Squire Creek Country Club in Shudra.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Relative to the greens, and if you hit the green on the wrong side of the green, you're better off being in the bunker. Okay,
yeah, absolutely.
Than being on the green on the wrong side, and also the tight lies. If you don't hit the ball first when you chip, it will go 3 feet.
Yeah,
if you're
lucky, yeah,
you're just going to chili dip it. I practiced at my house when I was there in Ruston. I would practice on dirt with my 58 to prepare myself.
Sure.
For those tight lies.
That's good practice.
I think we got a caller. Caller, you're on Bayou Sports.
Well, last weekend I saw Phil Mickelson make a 10. Did anybody?
It's not quite an 18. A 19.
Did anybody make a 19 on number 16 yet?
But pause. I did hear that Barry said that no. I think Phil made an 11.
So I still have the record.
Oh man! Yeah.
Yes, you do.
So he did make a 10. So when did Phil make a 10?
Was it last year?
It was last year.
Last week? No, last weekend on one hole he made a 10.
Okay. Okay.
At the Valero Open.
Okay.
When Spieth blew up on 12 3 years ago, did he make a 6? Was it a triple that he made?
I think it was.
Yeah, I believe it was a triple.
Cost him the tournament.
Oh yeah, no, he was cruising. I mean, literally the guy was cruising. So Ponce, you know, there's a lot of great players that shoot some big numbers on par 3s.
That's right. I'm one of them.
You know, Ponce, I would venture to say that when me and Barry Gwynn and Thomas Roy would jump in number 2 pond right there in that little peninsula area, that we gathered quite a few of your golf balls.
Oh, I know they got hundreds of them.
And you know that pond's still there.
Oh, yeah. It's right behind Tommy LeBlanc's house.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It's still there. I like, whenever there's a get-together there, I've been there a few times. I love just walking out there. I tell you, I get a little misty-eyed, man, just thinking that's our childhood. That's, I mean, we lived our
lives. That was our playground.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
It was our own.
I lived down in their street, too, and during the summer, you know, at 6 o'clock in the morning, we were on our bicycles and we played golf till 9 till the pool opened.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Hey, did you pay your share? Because I always said if you lived on my street, you needed to pay. You know, we should have gotten a little, you know, the index tax.
Yeah.
growing up, of course, I grew up, don't get me wrong, we never wanted it for anything in my house, but we were definitely not wealthy people. And I hung out with the Oobs, with Oob Furniture. I hung out with the Roy boys, with the Ramirez, and people that had, you know, they had some pretty good means, okay? But I would tell them, I'd say, this is my street. I got a country club in my backyard, and I live on my street.
But one of the things that amazed me about your house, your mama had so many kids, she had a milk dispenser.
Oh, yeah.
For everybody. Everybody wanted milk and milk dispenser.
Any bone that has ever been broken by an Indes child calcifies so quickly. And so, I'm telling you, it's the calcium in our bodies. I've only broken one bone, the little front, my shin bone. I got kicked in the leg in only soccer game I ever played in college. It's a fraternity deal. And when it healed, it was doctor right there. Doctor, gosh, dog, it lives right. J. Abear. Dr. Abear. J. Abear's dad.
Alvin?
No, 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 no. The orthopedic doctor.
Oh, okay.
He said when he passed his hand, and I'm doing it right now on my right shin, he said, I don't think I've ever seen calcification like that on a bone. My mother goes, that's all that milk.
I'm that milk dispenser.
All right, Paul. Good talking to you, man.
Okay, guys. I'll see y'all later.
Enjoy the Masters, Ponce.
Do what?
Enjoy the Masters.
Oh, yeah. Today's the day.
Yeah.
That's it.
They're teeing off.
It's going to be on in my office in the conference room.
There you go.
All righty.
Okay. See y'all later.
Thanks.
Always.
Okay, bye.
Always fun to talk. One of our sponsors, Hike, Menville, Grubbs, and Dalbor. And that was Mr. Menville right there, an iconic member of Iberia Country Club in all those days. So we're going to be right back. I got to get moving because I've got a little. I got to go meet a guy in Lafayette in a little bit. Got to talk to. You know, my dad used to say he was going to see a man about a dog. You never got that one? Daddy, where are you going? I'm going to see a man about a dog. That was basically, it's none of your business where you go. Okay? I'm going to see a man about a dog. Yeah. Or like, hey, what's that? Well, I stole eggs and bought it. You ever heard that one?
Uh-uh.
I'm telling you, he had some goofy.
Invent.
Yeah, and we're coming back with number 17 right after this right here on Kane 107.5.
Quarter Tavern is the premier spot for live music. Thursday, it's Kip Sonye. Friday, Chubby Carrier and Zydeco Trio. Saturday, it's the Basin Street Band. And Sunday afternoon, it's Deuce Chambers. 19 TVs has you covered for sports, and no bar has more outdoor seating for proper social distancing. Quarter Tavern, 910 East Main, across from McDonald's. The best drink prices in DeBary. New Iberia's happiest hours now, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday from 5 to 8. And now on Thursdays, 3 to 6, most drinks are half price.
We at Hike Menville Grubbs and Dalbor are happy to sponsor Coach Brent Indes and the Bayou Sports Show. We have recently changed our name from Hike Menville and Grubbs by adding J.P. Dalbor's name to our marquee. For all your legal needs, choose your hometown law firm, Hike Menville Grubbs and Dalbor. See us at 1017 East Dale Street or call 365-5486.
Folks, I'm going to let you in on the best-kept secret in New Iberia. It's called Blazing Specialties. Robert Romero daily prepares a masterpiece of Cajun-inspired delicacies, such as stuffed breads, wings, boudin, crackling, as well as pre-cooked and frozen foods. Need an event catered? Look no further than Blazing Specialties to make your event unforgettable. When I bring food to a customer, it's always Blazing Specialties. Open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 1 p.m., and located at 1115 Center Street next to Freeman Plaza. Blazing Specialties. Come and get you some.
If you need physical therapy, choose Iberia Sports and Rehabilitation. Our licensed staff is trained at the highest level to provide a customized treatment plan to give you the best results for pain-free living. Iberia Sports and Rehab has the area's only indoor heated therapy pool and Class 4 laser device, which assists the body to heal itself naturally. To get better, go to Iberia Sports and Rehab in New Iberia, keeping Acadiana strong and healthy. Visit isrehab.com.
It's spring cleaning time. Let Frank Specialty Fitness Equipment not only provide you with new sales, but also all of your service needs. Extend the life of your fitness equipment, including home gyms and cardio equipment. Give Frank a call at 337-316-1231 or visit frankspecialtyfitnessequipment.com. Frank Burbank is a New Iberia native who has been servicing South Louisiana with top fitness equipment for nearly 40 years. That's Frank Specialty Fitness Equipment, 337-316-1231.
We're making it easy at Arsenal Ford this month. What month is it?
It's truck month.
Take $13,000 off the last 2020 F-150s in stock. Because it's truck month.
We make it easy at Arsenal Ford.
Additive Solutions LLC is protecting frontline workers in the fight against COVID-19. Additive Solutions supplies custom safety shields, air purification, and steam sanitation. Our custom glass installs quickly and is extremely easy to clean, and our industrial purifiers restore your space with the freshest air possible. We will steam sanitize and hand clean all high traffic areas in your facility. Please visit Additive Solutions LLC or call Jace Dugai at 337-577-4858.
United Fire and Safety is an oil field service company that specializes in offshore maintenance. UFS has trained and reliable offshore fire watch service personnel. Hayden LeBove and his staff are always looking for skilled laborers. Please call United Fire and Safety for more information at 337-376-6814. Located at 2618 West Admiral Doyle Drive, United Fire and Safety, getting things done in the Gulf of Mexico.
Now back to Bayou Sports with Coach Brent Indes. Phone lines are open to talk sports at 367-1240.
All right. Right before we get to number 17, we're going to talk a little sports history. Real fast, a couple of them Masters. 1935, the second Masters. Gene Sarazen wins by 5 shots. 1990 Masters. This one I remember extremely well.
Nick Faldo.
Playoff over Raymond Floyd. I still am to a degree, but in my younger years, I was so anti any non-American winning a major. I could deal with the British Open because it was a foreign tournament, but I really did not like Nick Faldo. I didn't like Seve. I didn't like Nick. I didn't like Woosnam.
Gary Player?
You know what? It was hard not to like Gary Player. Okay. I got to say that. But you know what? Also, Gary was a little – relative was a little before my time.
True.
Now, don't get me wrong. He was still winning tournaments.
Yes.
In the early 70s when I started watching golf, mid-70s.
So I saw him shoot a 63 at Shoal Creek in the PGA in 84.
Yeah.
All right. Here's a trivia question. Three players have back-to-back Masters. Tiger Woods, Jack Nicklaus, fill in the blank.
Nick Faldo.
Yeah, right there.
90 and 91. Huh?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Langer
and
won,
speaking
I think,
of, and speaking of, and we're not going to do it today, but my buddy Paul Schechsnyder down the street, he's got his own gallery right there on St. Peter, and we'll give him a plug. But what he has, I've got a half dozen, I believe, mugs, and we're going to start having a trivia once a week for the next 6 weeks. We're going to do a little trivia contest.
Oh, good.
And we're going to give away a mug.
Wonderful.
So excited to have Paul on board with the show and helping us out and appreciate everything he does. Not only – Paul's just a great guy for New Iberia. The painting and with help that he's done here in town and all the different things, just what a positive light here in New Iberia. And the last one – 1974, Hank Aaron hits his 715th home run to pass the Babe.
You know, they reenacted that with the two guys that ran around the bases. One of them had passed away, and the other one's a medical doctor.
Wow.
That ran around the field.
Great stuff. And, of course, that was at a rough time, and it was right after integration and you know, death threats and all kind of different things, which was just terrible.
Just unbelievable.
But what a classy guy Hank Aaron was.
Just passed away recently, too.
Yeah. You know,
Hammer and Hank.
Yep.
Saw him hit a few at Atlanta Fulton County Stadium, too. Been to ball games there.
What a great player. Number 17. Now, this guy, number 17.
Yeah, Deesnuff.
Deesnuff.
Set. Enough is 19.
You're right. There we go. Set. And look, I want to say Jeff filled in admirably yesterday with his French.
Really?
Yeah.
Good for him.
It was more of a... His dialect was a little different.
I thought maybe he'd give you a little Polak or something like that with all the Polish people
he
up
did
in
quite well.
Chicago.
He did quite well. So when I went back, because what I do is I Google some of these guys to make sure that I've got the proper information and whatnot. And it was really hard to find a lot of information on this wrestler.
Pre-Google.
Well, the deal, and look, Hugh Andre, I'm telling you right now that you're going to be you want me. I think you want me to reach forward to more of your generation. Well, this one goes way back. This is mid to early 70s. My brother would slap me around in the living room. He'd get me, and I'd lay it down, and then he would go in the corner of the room, and he would load the boot. Now, if you were a true Mid-South wrestling fan, you know what loading the boot means. It means I'm talking about the grappler. The grappler would load the boot. So he couldn't let the official see it. He couldn't let the referee see it. So evidently he had some type of steel in his boot that he would harbor on the side of his foot. Because they would always check the tip of his... They would always make... The referee checked the tip of his shoes, of his wrestling shoes, to make sure that there was no foreign object in there. So they would check, but then toward the end of the match, when the guy was laying down and he was hurting, and you know, from a knee drop or whatever, and the official was checking him out, the grappler would go to the corner, grab the turnbuckle, and he would kick his foot down. And Reeser Bowden would say, there he is, the grappler. He's loading the boot. And then he'd kick you, and you were out. Because it was like kicking you with brass knuckles. Okay, so the grappler loaded the boot. And I don't care how much there is about Google or anything. When I say the grappler was a huge part of my childhood. And he loaded the boot, and he just kicked the snot out of you. And you were done. You were finished.
Did you ever miss a show?
Not many. You know, it makes me mad because my brother Joey, he's 6 years older than me, and sometimes I'll call him and I'll go, do you remember me? Man, Brent, I'm not sure. I don't remember. I'm like, come on, man. This had to mean as much to you as it did to me.
But you see, the difference with me is I would go to school, and then me and Thomas and Robert Roy, we would rehash all of these things. So it was further implanted into our long-term memory. All of these guys that were just, you know, iconic figures of our childhood. So with that being said, another great day. Today is Thursday, right?
All day.
Today's Thursday. Today's the start of the Masters, right?
Absolutely.
I think today's
they teed the start. It up, what, 2.5 hours ago?
Well, Jack.
7 o'clock their time.
Well, yeah.
No, 6 o'clock.
Yeah, so it's 9:25 there, correct?
That's right.
Yeah, they're an hour ahead. So it's underway, so I'm going to get some work done this morning, and then I'll be glued to the television set.
The Golf Channel?
Wherever it is.
That's where it is.
Wherever it is. I'll be there watching it. It's so much fun to be able to watch the front nine now. For years, you couldn't see the front nine.
That's right. That's correct.
You maybe catch an approach on number nine, and then it was.
And it's Cadillac and. No, it's.
Rolex.
It's Rolex been, and Cadillac? Or Rolex?
That's what it's been.
Yeah, for years, it was Travelers and Cadillac.
Mercedes.
Oh,
okay, we moved on to Mercedes.
Okay.
All right. So with that being said, on behalf of Louisiana Athletic Care, Iberia Sports and Rehab, Hike, Menville, Grubbs, and Dalbor, Schwing Insurance, Blazing Specialties, Additive Solutions, Cane Row Golf and Turf Club, Quarter Tavern, Arsenal Ford, $7,000 off of Fusions all month, 2020 Fusions, Frank Specialty Fitness Equipment, Action Specialties, L.A. Classic Roofing, the official roofing contractor of Bayou Sports, KK's Cafe, United Fire and Safety, Grittick Electric and General Service, and also Gator Coolers and Gator Skin, my new gig. We will be back tomorrow to talk more Masters, to talk about number 16. Let's see who number 16 is. Oh, number 16 is an infamous bad guy. He was brought up on the show today earlier by Boxcar. His name was mentioned. So we'll be talking about number 16.
So that's our teaser.
That's our teaser. So we'll be back tomorrow morning at 7:10, 7:15. Right here on Bayou Sports.